I'd like to remind all participants this conference is being recorded. If you have any objections, you may disconnect at this time. You may begin.
Thanks, Kelly. Thanks, Gisela. And thanks all for joining us today on this vertical integration call.
Scott Austin.
And Scott Austin's joined. Hi, Scott.
Hi.
We're going to have a pretty simple agenda today. We are sort of in the midsummer, slightly less energetic mode. And so the only thing that I've got really, except for the continuing discussion of the harms document that's been evolving, is an announcement about the new meeting time, the new old meeting time. The Doodle poll was pretty conclusive that the old time is better than the new time, so we're going to switch back to that. And Cheryl, I apologize, but we'll have a great time talking about 3 a.m. jokes.
Yeah.
Yeah, so there you go. Anyway, the only other thing that I have is the continuation of the harms discussion. Is there anything that anybody else would like to add to the agenda before we get going?
Mikey, it's Jeff Eckhouse. Sorry, just a quick question. So on the timing of the call, so it will be one call a week going forward at the old time, which was 2 hours previous to this time. Is that correct?
Yeah, and it, at least for now, while we're in our sort of interim mode, we'll just have an hour and a half call, not a 2 hour.
Okay. Yeah, if you could just send it when after this call, send an email out to the list, just letting everyone know that it's for whatever specified time, just so we don't have to, because sometimes it gets a little tough switching schedules back and forth. So just to say, hey, for the next 2 weeks or 3 weeks, we'll do it at, I won't say, whatever, you know, the time 2 hours prior to this.
Yeah. Yeah.
Thanks.
1700 Zulu. So anyway, that's the only thing I've got. I don't hear anything else. So, Gisela, why don't you call the roll and we'll get underway.
With pleasure. Good morning, good afternoon, good evening to everyone on today's Vertical Integration Call on Monday, the 9th of August. We have Ruslan Sattarov, Steve Mutasami, Boudouin Chombe, Cheryl Langdon Orr, Mike O'Connor, Jean-Christophe Vigne, Roberto Gaetano, Jeff Eckhouse, Avery Doria, Amadou Abriou, Sébastien Bachelet, Barry Cobb, Tim Ruiz, Thomas Barrett, Brian Cute, Jason Frakes, Paul Diaz, Jeff Newman, Catherine Olmeyer, Ron Andruff, Staten Hammock, Scott Austin, Ken Stubbs, Steve Pinkos, Faisal Shah. From staff, we have Margie Milam, Glenn de Saint-Géry, Liz Gaster, Mike Zupka, myself, Gisela Gruber-White. Alan Greenberg will be joining us in the second hour, and Christina Rosette will be late on the call. Can I please also please remind everyone to state their names when speaking for transcript purposes. Thank you. Over to you, Mikey. And I'll get rid of that noise. Mikey?
Perhaps the buzz is Mike.
Mike's line is open.
Kelly, can you just please locate that?
Oh, there we go. Mikey had his phone muted. Sorry about that. I was so entranced with that sound, I got lost in the music. Sorry about that, folks.
Sound is gone.
Yeah, that's much better. Okay, so we've got really two documents now. We've got Jeff's document, which is on the screen in front of us, and then we've also got one that Scott Austin submitted, which I thought was pretty neat. I don't know that I have a structure for the conversation, but maybe just for starters, let's spend about 15 minutes on the changes to Jeff's document, since that one's up on the screen, and then maybe 15 minutes to a half an hour, depending on how it goes, with Scott walking us through his, and then see where the conversation takes us from there.
Hey, Mikey, this is Jeff Newman. You said this is documented by Scott. I don't think I've seen that one.
Yeah, that's
the one from Scott
as well.
Oh, I'm sorry. I thought it went to the list. Scott, did you just send that one to Roberto and me? I thought that it was copied to the list.
Yeah, hi. I don't know. I was told that it went to the list because Christina emailed me that it did. And, frankly, it was something that I, had wanted to, discuss with some other folks beforehand. But the original deadline that we talked about on that had passed, so I wanted to make sure that I got it to everyone for today's call.
I know what happened. I think that it got sent to the owner of the list, but not to the list. So, given that it must not have gone to the list, I just saw the list name in there and presumed that it went to the list, but in fact, I don't think it did. Given that, Scott, how do you want to proceed? Do you want to wait, or do you want to...
You know what? I've already been told by Christina that she really should have reviewed it first, so I think I'll go ahead and hold off until she's had a chance to do that, considering that was something that was of concern. So,
okay.
But you've seen it, and Roberto's seen it. I'm more than happy to talk about it. I mean, the purpose was, frankly, just to fill in a few gaps of what I saw as, I'll wait until it's my turn.
I think given the fact that if Christina wanted to review it first, we should probably let that unfold between the two of you. So with that, I think, Jeff, do you want to walk us through the changes that you... Tim's got his hand up. Sorry. Go ahead, Tim.
I was just trying to find out where Scott's document was, but we just went over that, so I'll...
Yeah, okay. Hand. Okay. sorry about that. I didn't realize that it happened. Okay, Jeff, over to you.
Sure, actually, and it was perfect timing. I thought Tim was chiming in to say that because most of the changes that I had made to the document, well, I won't say changes. I'm not making – just additions would be the right word. Most of the additions that I had added were from ones that Tim had sent me. The list, the traffic sent to me, I had some notes from people saying they were, they liked this project and they were going to send me some things, but I had not really received anything concrete from anybody except for Tim was the one who sent it to me, and he had also sent it to the list as well. So it wasn't only sent to me. So those are, they're bullet points in here. We can go over it. I don't know if, Tim, if you want to go over those, do we want to be – I don't know if we want to do that as a process, just in general, to go over what those harms that were added were. I guess that's more of a process question. Is that something we want to do? Or, I don't know, Mikey, Roberto, I mean, is that sort of our next step? And then if it is, maybe I'll hand it over to Tim to walk through, or do we not want to do that? I'm posing that question out there.
Why don't we – Have we ever actually stepped through the whole document?
No.
I mean, one way to approach this, Jeff, would be to just walk us through the whole thing, because we got started on that but kind of got derailed on the last week's call. Do you want to just sort of...
Yeah, well, the thing is, we could do that, but I'm not, the author of a lot of these harms. What I did was I said I had picked them up from other areas, and what I said were letters, comments, documents submitted. So I basically culled these from those sources. I am not, I'm not the person who wrote these up and said, I believe XYZ is going to happen, and here's why. I just collected these, and maybe, I don't know, if I want to hand it over, I see Tim, I think, has his hand up. Maybe he has a thought about this as well.
Okay. Tim?
Well, I was just going to make sure it was clear that because I contributed some harms doesn't mean that I actually liked this document. which actually I don't, and I'm still confused about what we're going to do with it. My contributions were primarily to make sure things aren't, do my best to make sure things aren't missed, given that I don't know what is ultimately going to happen with the document. So as far as me discussing any part of it or beyond that, I wouldn't feel comfortable.
Okay. Ron?
Good afternoon. Thanks, Mikey. I think this is start on this list is excellent, and there's been a lot of contribution to it. I'm looking forward to seeing Scott Austin's document also get included in this. But one of the thoughts that I had when I read through it was that there's a substantial amount of work that needs to be done to bring this sort of into apples to apples. Two things that I would point out. Under the rubric Other Harms, there are what appear to be five different harms: collusion, unfair marketing, shelf space, you know, and so forth. Those need to be defined, as have been all the rest above it. And then the comments from Register, from Lubson, from PIR, and so forth, those should be put into the same kind of format. So the whole, what I'm getting at is, let's try to get this into an apples-to-apples comparison so we can start working through it. Perhaps that might be a better way to go rather than start picking through it at this point.
Okay. Let's see. Jeffrey, you're next.
Yeah, I just wanted to respond to Ron and just say, you know, why that format is. What happened was, Ron, the ones there were, where I had under other, those collusion between parties, shelf space, those are ones that people on the list had mentioned as harms, but there was no, I don't know, either color or explanation around it. So I put those in there hoping that, you know, the people who had said that these would be harms as a direct result of vertical integration, or they could be exacerbated by vertical integration, that they would sort of discuss those or maybe give some explanation on those. And the parts on the bottom, sorry, where I wrote the harms and the other pieces, those were just areas where I just wanted to say those were the sources of where I found some of those harms, and I just documented them just for people to know where these sort of came from. And so they are summarized in the bullet points above, so that they are, we could remove those if we wanted to, but those are the actual text or quotes, which I thought it would be nice to include so that people didn't think that, you know, maybe I misinterpreted, or if somebody wrote those, so they could say, no, that's not what it says. So I just wanted that to be clear so everything was sort of transparent on that.
Thanks, Jeff. I had a question, too. I'll take off my junior co-chair hat for a minute. Are these harms that result from vertical integration, or are these harms both from vertical integration and from vertical separation, Jeff, when you were going through this?
Oh, sorry. I did not include anything that would be a harm from separation. If people want, you know, I think I'd put that through earlier on the list. I figured we could work on this part first, on the harms resulting from integration versus separation, but if somebody, you know, I figured I'd tackle that one part. If somebody wants to go through on the separation part, that would be great.
I don't know about others on the call. I guess maybe we could get a sense of the group, but at least for me, I think it would be nice to have both in there.
Sorry, Mikey, this is Amadeo.
Hi, Amadeo, go ahead.
I just discovered that the mobile version of the Adobe Connect has no hand-raising facilities, so you have to use voice. Just one question regarding that. I don't think that, you know, doing a section for the harms of vertical separation makes that sense. For the fact that you may have policies to prevent or limit vertical integration, you won't have policies to prevent or limit vertical separation. So in any case, you may have missed opportunities on vertical separation. But nobody is saying that vertical separation as such should be limited, forbidden, or anything like that. So listing the harms of that, I think this could be quite nonsense.
I guess this is Mikey still with his content hat on rather than co-chair. But the reason that I thought it might be useful is because so much of our conversation has revolved around that. And it might be helpful for folks who are following on behind us or reading our stuff to hear both sides. I don't have a real strong opinion on that, although several folks that aren't in the working group asked me about that, and I, when it was raised with me, thought it was a good question. So that's part of the reason I brought it up. Ken, is your hand up?
Yes, it is.
There you go. Go ahead.
Yeah, I just had to take it off mute. There's a couple of, at the bottom there are excerpts from correspondence between, I believe, Yes and PIR and Peter Dengue Thrush. I think it would be a good idea before anything like that included in the document that you might discuss with the people who wrote those letters whether they would want a document like that excerpted. I hope you can understand why, but the comments that were made by those parties may have been made in a specific context that was covered by the document and may not necessarily. I'm not saying they are or they aren't. I can't speak for PIR. I can't even speak for Afilius. I didn't write that letter. I'm just saying that from a practical standpoint, I think it would be a good idea to get permission to use those excerpts as such. I don't think there's anything wrong with using advocacies, but I think at the same point in time, it's clear that context may very well have something to do with anything like that.
Mikey, it's Jeff. Can I just respond to that for 1 second?
Sure, go ahead.
Okay, two things. One is I don't believe we would need that because, one, these were all public documents that I pulled from public sources. They weren't correspondence to me. Some of them were from Circle ID. They're all posted on the ICANN website. So, and two is that was the reason why I put down the section where I quoted from and the links to the actual articles so that anybody could read it, could see what the full context was, and to say that just I didn't want to be accused of cutting and pasting or snipping words out or anything along those lines. So I think that to say we need permission is a little bit tough because these are documents that people sent out into the public atmosphere. It's pulled from the registry, registrar, whatever it is, vertical, you know, separation website that has been put up. So these are all public and out there. So I think that's a little, I just think that's a little reaching, but that's just my opinion on that.
A quick response. Jeff, I wasn't criticizing you. I was just making a comment about how that information should be displayed. That's all. I understand that you have references and links at the bottom. I just was.
Oh, no, I didn't take it as a criticism. Don't worry.
It might be something that you might want to ask because they may. It's very easy to excerpt from a document, and there are. You could take specific items out of a document that could be taken out of context without the specific references to where those items related, and that's all I'm saying. You know, take it for what it's worth.
Thanks, Ken. Avery?
Yeah, I just wanted to chime in with a very strong agreement with Jeff and a lot of discomfort at Ken's suggestion. I think once somebody puts their words out in public, their words are out in public. They should expect them to be quoted, to be synthesized. I think the fact that a document gives reference to them, perhaps includes a note saying, if you want to read the full context, go read the full argument. But I think there's absolutely no reason to have to go around getting permission to quote the comments that people have already made public.
I didn't specifically say that, Aubrey. I'm sorry you're uncomfortable. The point I was trying to make was that when you excerpt something from an article, a document, a speech, or anything like that, sometimes it is, the suggestion that you made at the end was, I think, a very good one, and that is that instead of just saying comments from Affilius letter to PDT, it would be much better to say that the following were excerpts from a letter that was written from to them with a specific subject. It would be nice to explain what the subject of the letter was. That's not taking it too far. Okay?
I apologize for interrupting you, but I hadn't finished.
Right. But I've refinished. That's part of what we do here. Thanks.
But thank you. I wasn't recommending that he add that. I was recommending that perhaps in one footnote somewhere someone can say, go read the source if you really want to read the source. I wasn't indicating that one needed to write why they had sent the letter and what its purpose. I think the words are out there to be quoted as long as they're not being misquoted, and people can always bring up and say, you misquoted me. That's a different issue. But I think when people make public comments, you know, I know I've said things that I hate to see quoted, but we make them. They're quotable. And one does not need permission. One only needs permission when it's a private communication that hasn't been made public. Thank you.
Thanks, Avery. Maybe the way to handle this is just go to sort of good sort of quoting and footnoting format the document.
Mikey, can I jump in on that?
Sure, go ahead.
This is Jeff Newman. My hand's up next anyway. What I was going to suggest is, since if we're talking about the Hal Lobson letter, which is actually from three registries, we have those people as members of this group. So it doesn't hurt to go back to them and just say, hey, does this capture what you were trying to? And if not, can you please edit it? I mean, this is supposed to be a working group that works together. There's no reason we have to quote existing documents if those people will come forward and just take it on themselves to make sure it reflects what their point was. I'm kind of lost as to why we're having this yelling match or argument or debate. Let's just go to the people. I think Jeff Eckhouse tried to do his best to and did a good job in documenting what he believed the issues were by pointing to public sources. Those people are members of this group. Just have them check it. Have them look at it. If it's not what they meant, then have them rewrite it. You know, this is not like once you said something on the record, you're never able to change it and explain what you meant. So that's my recommendation.
Gee, I think this isn't being characterized as yell match. It was a suggestion, and that's all it was. There was no animosity implied at all in the comments that I made.
Okay.
So does that sound like a suggestion? Brian's on the group. I'm on the group. It should be incumbent upon us that wrote those letters to review how it's been summarized, and if we don't agree with it, we'll change it.
And I think that's a good way of putting it, Jeff, too. I think it's an excellent suggestion.
Good deal. Okay. Dang, it's too bad that I was sort of counting on Scott's document at this point. One of the reasons that I am
Mike is Jeff again. I'm sorry. Aubrey has indicated disagreement, so can we find out why she disagrees with what was just said?
Oh, sure. Aubrey, go ahead. Oh, you may be muted, Aubrey. Or something.
Aubrey, your line is open.
Oh, sorry, I had gone mute for about because I had to take another phone call, so I don't know if I was asked anything. I think if people want to put in new stuff, great. But I think we're making much ado about nothing. Those were views that were quoted. I mean, I suppose if somebody reads it and says, no, that's not what I meant to say, then great, say something else. But
I think we've sort of gotten to a reasonable spot, which is, no, we don't need to necessarily ask permission to quote things when they're out in the public world. But at the same time, we're all, almost everybody in the working group is connected in one way or another to some of these documents, and we should just edit these to make sure that they're right. So kind of a little flex here. And, you know, Jeff seems to be pretty open to new ideas and changes, so, it's not feeling terribly stuck in that regard. So I think sort of take all of this, Jeff, and sort of work it into the process going forward, and we'll be fine.
Yep, I have my agree sign up, so.
Okay. Where do folks want to take this from here? It doesn't seem to me feasible to get this. Well, I don't know. Maybe I shouldn't say it that way. We face sort of an editing deadline. The public comment period will be closing this week on Thursday, the 12th. And Margie's under a fair amount of pressure. Margie and the rest of the staff are under a fair amount of pressure to summarize those pretty quickly. Basically, I think that summary needs to be done in time for our call next Monday, just so we can take a quick look at it and file off any rough edges. And so effectively, next Monday is our last working call before revisions go into this document. And given that there seems to me to be a fair amount of work yet to do on this document, I'm not sure that we want to try and drive it in to the draft, but I'm presuming for the group, I guess, when I say that. Part of the reason I say it is because Scott's document is pretty substantive, and I think our discussion would benefit a lot from seeing it, and it looks like we won't be able to get to that until next week, given the review cycle. So I guess I'd like to spend a few minutes talking about that. Ken, I assume your hand is left up from before, so I'm going to go to Tim, but if you want to comment on this, you can too. Tim, go ahead.
Yeah, I guess this is what I was asking last week was, what's the purpose of the document is. Now, you just said it's going to be put into the report, and I'm wondering how or in what shape or why.
Right.
Oh, well, I mean, you implied that was a potential. So, but here's what I, just going back to this about, the discussion between, what Avery was suggesting in regards to any edits, or et cetera, for the document. I think a lot of it all depends on, again, what the point of the document is. If it's simply a report, then, the quotes, et cetera, what Avery says makes sense. If it's a working document that has a further purpose that we've agreed to, then I think what Jeff Newman suggested makes sense. So I think that may be part of the problem, is that I don't think it's clear to a number of us what exactly we're doing with this document or where it's going. So I would just like to get some clarification in that way, or at least some agreement among the group, so that we have some sort of direction for this document.
Yeah, that's fair enough. Let me comment on that, and then I'll take Sebastian and Scott. Part of the vagueness is due to a fair amount of uncertainty, at least in my mind, as to where our process is headed. And a lot of that is due to a fair amount of uncertainty as to what the board's going to do. And so partly what's going on is I'm not in my usual tyrannical work plan process mode right now, because I don't really know what our future holds until the board retreat is done. Let me paint a couple of possible futures for us. This is all speculation. I have no information whatsoever about what the board's going to do or not. But let's take one example. One example would be the board decides what they're going to do about vertical integration at the board retreat. Probably not formally, because they generally don't do formal resolutions, but essentially they decide. And that seems to me to be that would then lead us to a completely different set of actions than if they don't. Another intangible or imponderable is whether there's going to be another version of the DAG, which changes the timing of a lot of stuff. So we get into this sort of difficulty in terms of predicting what our future is going to be. And so what I've decided, at least in my own mind, to do is sort of wait until that all unfolds. And then, presuming that we have time, that's a huge assumption, but I'm going to make it anyway. Then I think that what this represents is the beginning of essentially a problem statement that says, here's the problem that we're trying to solve. Here's a list of the harms that might result from vertical integration. I'd still lobby for another list of harms from vertical separation to get everything on the table. And we start actually doing an analysis of the problem that we're trying to solve, the various solutions that might be available, et cetera, et cetera. Now that kind, and hopefully arrive at a consensus view as to what the best way to solve those problems are or is. That's going to take a lot of time and a lot of research and a lot of analysis and a lot of thinking. And I don't want to preclude the possibility of us doing that by essentially ruling this document either, you know, not allowed or out of order or, I don't know, something. At the same time, I'm a little bit uncomfortable, I think, Tim, as you are, of putting it in the interim report in its current form, because no matter what, it seems to me we've got a lot of conversation to have about this, including concluding the conversation that you're proposing, which is how are we actually going to use this? And it's going to be really hard to make that choice until we sort of know what's happening. That's kind of a long-winded way of saying that I don't know.
Mikey?
Yeah, and now I'll go back to the queue.
Can you put Amadeo on the queue?
Sure. Thanks, sure. Amadeo. I'll put you in after Scott. So, Sebastian, go ahead.
Thank you. Hear me?
Yep, can hear you fine.
Thank you. I wanted to suggest that as we just received the Scott document, and it seems to be quite comprehensive and quite long, maybe he can give us a short summary of this document and how to look through afterwards. Because if we have nothing to do except in the crystal ball, we will have fun time, but then that we will go somewhere. Thank you.
Thanks, Sebastian. I think you were on a cell phone, so it was a little bit garbled, but let me summarize what I think I heard, and you can correct me if I'm wrong. Did Scott's document hit the list?
Yes.
Oh, good. Okay. Well, then in that case, I would love to have Scott sort of, let's sort of finish up this little bit of discussion, and then we'll throw the ball to Scott and let him maybe walk us through some of the high points in his document. I agree, it's It's pretty long, and it took me several readings to really digest it. I don't really feel like I have completely yet, but it is quite substantive, and I think would be very helpful. So, Scott, I see your hand is the only one in the queue. Let me go to Amadeo first, and then we'll circle back around to you. Amadeo, go ahead.
Okay. I am on mute, yes.
Yeah, you're fine.
A couple of questions regarding your previous, consideration of what are we doing. First, you seem to imply that we need to wait for the board to do something so we know where we are. I think it's the reverse. We shouldn't wait anything at all. We are supposed to provide policy advice. We might provide something that's useful or, work in progress, or we need more time or whatever. But I don't think we are in a waiting mode for anything. Quite the contrary. The council and the board are waiting for our input. Second thing regarding what to do with the harms document, if anything. Regardless of what we do, that probably will end up in an annex to the report or whatever. I think that everybody that has proposed or will propose measures regarding how to deal with the vertical integration should just explain how their measures address the different harms. And it might be, it's not addressed because this is not realistic or, there's no need to take care of that. But at least I think it could be a very good exercise to see how each of the different measures each one is proposing tries to address one, all, or many of them. Because I think that most of them are just addressing some specific parts and not all. And at the end, and that's our point in our proposal, there is room for combining many of the measures because they are addressing different parts of the picture.
Thanks, Amadeo. Let me take the two pieces in different chunks. Part of the reason that I'm waiting is because if we, the difficulties that we've experienced as a working group are in many respects due to the amount of time that we've had to work. And before I lay out our future in terms of how we work, I want to kind of know how much time we've got. If the board turns around and says, no, we're still waiting for you, but we only have 6 more weeks, that's a different planning situation than either, no, we've already made the decision, so any work that you're doing will really be aimed at the next round of GTLDs, or the opposite, which is, no, you actually have quite a bit of time because there are other issues that are also unresolved, which means that we have another DAG revision to go through. And given that it's summer, late summer, holiday season, and given how hard we worked, I'm pretty reluctant to flog us all through a really aggressive schedule right now, especially when we'll know towards the end of September really what the situation we find ourselves in to be. So it's not for lack of wanting to do it. It's just a planning thing, if nothing else. In terms of the which measures address which harms, I think that's part of the planning that we need to do. I think this is at the core of Tim's point, which is we do need sort of an orderly series of steps that we can go through that we can predict and we can understand what's coming. So that everybody sort of knows what the shape of the analysis is going to be, and I think that's a great suggestion, but one of many. I mean, I wouldn't want to just limit the analysis to that. I have a bunch of ideas, but again, those ideas really depend on how much time we've got. And so I'm not pushing real hard right now, partly because it's vacation time and partly because we're basically at the deadline for the interim report. So I'm postponing a lot of stuff. Roberto, go ahead.
Yes, thank you. A couple of things that I wanted to say were in similar directions that Amadeo took. I think that we are not in it's a mischaracterization to say that now we all wait for what the board will say in September at the retreat. It is very important. It can change the way we proceed. But right now, this is a working group that has been established by the council until the council doesn't tell us, please stop. We continue working. It doesn't make sense to lose time, although I agree that we need a little bit of vacation, breathing time, and so on. But if in the meantime we can go on and go further, why not? So I think that in any case, the board, the moment that they have to take a decision on vertical integration or not, the question that they will ask themselves is, what are the consequences of vertical integration? So I think that by doing a list of harms and by elaborating what are the consequences of potential consequences of vertical integration, we are clarifying things that can be, in a way that can be useful for the discussion at the board. It cannot be part of the interim report on time for the discussion on the board, but it's still something that sooner or later somebody has to do. So I think that we should, taking it easy because it's vacation and we needed a rest, but we should proceed on the harms and see how those harms can influence the decision. And well, there was another thing that I have forgotten, so I'll stop it here.
If you remember, just break right back in. Okay. Well, with that, I think what I want to do is turn to Scott, because I think it would be useful to see his document. Margie, have you been able to pick that off the list, and can you push it up to the Adobe room so that folks can have it in front of them when Scott's walking us through it?
Sure, just give me a second. I'll convert it out.
Yeah, it needs to be transmogrified into Adobe Connect friendly format.
In the meantime, I have remembered what I wanted to say.
Oh, good. Go ahead.
It's a quick thing, and is related to the issue that Ken has raised. I think we have to be extremely careful in the moment that we put references to things that other people have posted or said, even if they are public. But I think that eventually we have to put all these comments together, as Jeff has done, but we have to homogenize them. We have to come up with not with a list of Hal Lubsen or whoever, but of with the final product will be a list that the working group, by consensus, thinks is the list of possible harms. So at that point in time, the how it came, how a specific item came into the list might lose importance, because even if, I don't know, we have picked it from Hal Lupsen's letter, and then maybe Hal has changed his mind or we have misquoted, but this working group agrees that that item is a harm, it will remain in the list independently of what the origin was. So I think that we are not going to take this and just publish it verbatim, but I think that now the discussion starts on the different items on the list, whether they are harms or not, whether the working group thinks they are harms or not, and what are how can we hedge the risk, what are the possible fixes, and so on and so forth.
Thanks, Roberto. I guess we'll go to Ken and Jeff and then to Scott. Ken, go ahead.
Mikey, I'm going to defer because I'm very anxious to listen to what Scott has to say, and if there's time at the end, I'll make a quick comment in support of something you said earlier.
Okay. Thanks, Ken. Jeff, how about you?
Yeah, thanks. I just want to say that thanks for Roberto. That was part of the plan when I put this together, is for the group and for the discussion of what are these harms? Are they valid? Are they not? How do they come about? And I think the first part was the collection of the harms. And I think, I don't know if it's a vacation time or a slowdown or fatigue, but I haven't really received many updates. So I'm not going to officially say anything is closed. I will make sure that there is no closure of the list or anything like that. But I think maybe once, my thought is once Scott presents his, maybe we could sort of combine these and start working on the next steps with still room for any additions of harms that people want to put together. That's just a suggestion that I have.
Sounds good. And with that, I'm going to kick it over to Scott. But Scott, as just an observation, since I've had a couple extra days to read this, as I read your document, and correct me if I'm wrong, I read this as sort of a taxonomy of harms. And one of the things I thought might be interesting is to essentially use the taxonomy that you're describing and Jeff's list to sort of categorize the various harms as to what kind they are, and use the two lists together to sort of buttress each other. And with that, over to you.
Thanks, Mikey. And I think that's an excellent idea. I think that the first of all, I see Christina is on, so I need to start with an apologia. I did not have an opportunity to give this to her before the IPC met. I apologize, Christina. I hope you'll take it for what this is. This was not vetted by IPC. It is not intended essentially to be, and I apologize to the group for putting the CCs on there because they did not get a chance to review it beforehand. Having said that, and I hesitate to start with an apologia for a piece that I worked long and hard on, and it was just me. I know some people look at a lawyer and think that if you're a partner, you had some poor associate grind away on this. This was me. I spent the time because for all the hours that all of us have put in, and I have great respect for the people on this list, I just kept feeling that we needed some, at least one area that has not been fulfilled, to me, is a framework. That is that a lot of these harms have been viewed in a vacuum. And to me, as I said in my prefatory note here, that society establishes laws in response to harms, both social and economic. And that's really the reason for doing this. It's not to try and create a treatise. It's much too shallow for that, especially on something as complex as antitrust. But by the same token, it is to go a bit beyond merely just making a list of things that of actions. It is an attempt at a framework or to provide some background on laws that are out there that deal with harms in an anti-competitive context to see what has been done. And that's really all that it is. Now, I've tried to take my own stab in several areas under the, quote, new economy of applying that framework against some of the things that we're trying to do. Essentially, as a lawyer of 26 years, trying to extend the law to a new series of facts. It may have failed miserably. I don't know. But that's what I put out to this group for them to decide. I give the background because, and again, within the short period of time, you know, what you can do in 24 to 48 hours in analyzing some of these things, I just relied on a few sources. But I think they were good sources, and I think they are by established and reputable attorneys, and I think the cases there are some of the baseline cases. And really, that was the approach, especially on things like market power and market abuse that Jeff specifically said in his that he had, you know, intentionally omitted. And I just think that an awful lot of what we've been looking at with the issue of vertical integration, that is with registrars and registries coming together, and again, my purpose here, there's no hidden agenda. I'm not out to forward the any particular cause, and I'm certainly not out to harm any particular cause. Most importantly, IPC, that I am here at the pleasure of, and I don't forget that. So I have, the materials that are there to basically walk through some of the existing laws, and specifically the laws, and if I was going to get into a full in-depth discussion of all of these laws, it would take more than anyone on this list would probably care to read. But it is to give some basis and some guidelines. And with that, I would just say that it speaks for itself to the extent of the various sections of the Sherman Act. Attempting to acquire monopolization is in Section 2. Section 1 is essentially dealing with agreements, but it also includes vertical agreements. And whether or not that would include agreements between registrars and registries all has to do with, you know, yes, they're in a complementary relationship to one another, but would there be something, how do we assess a market in all of this? And one of the things that I got at in there, I guess we can just go through some of the paragraphs if that's what you'd like to do, Mark, Mikey.
I think what we might want to do is give folks a chance to read this. It took me a good long time to read it. If you would bear with me, I had one sort of framing question for you, and that is on page one, in your first non-italicized paragraph. You say, for purposes of this analysis, harms are generally defined as those actions which would negatively impact the ability of a consumer to have fair access to obtain an unrestricted, i.e. non-generic, top-level domain, or at second-level domains at a reasonable cost in an efficient market that maintains competitive pricing. I don't think we want to have this debate now on the call, but that's a really interesting question, which is, what's a harm? You went ahead and defined it.
Well, I did that for exactly the reason you're putting it to see if it would generate acceptance or dismissal, and if so, you know, on what basis? Because, you know, we're creating a list of harms, but really, what is the parameter of what gets on the list and what doesn't?
Yeah. So that's just one little tiny example of why I think this is worthy of folks' time to read, and I think we'll generate a lot of discussion. Tim, go ahead.
Yeah, I haven't had a chance to, other than just peruse it here while we've been on the call. But I think that you know, what is the market, I think, is a very important question. Because if we're talking about, you know, the market as within a single TLD, obviously that's a completely different picture than, you know, the market of domain names as a whole. So I think that's an important question, too, and hopefully that's something we can explore a little bit more as we go down this road of harms.
Yeah, I agree. Brian, go ahead.
And thanks, Mikey. And, yeah, thanks, Scott, for putting this together. You know, this is clearly you're touching on very important areas of this overall discussion. And to the point that Mikey called out about the potential harms to consumers having fair access, from the legal perspective, there are a couple of different lenses you can look at this question through. That is, what is harm? And harm can be to competition, and competition harms can be defined as impacting consumers primarily or impacting competitors or both. And it really depends on the jurisdiction you're analyzing the question from as well, because there are some jurisdictions around the planet that put greater emphasis on harm to the consumer, and there are some that put a greater emphasis on harm to competition as between the actors in the marketplace, because competition between actors in the marketplace can create benefits for consumers. So there are two different lenses there. It can vary. The emphasis can vary in terms of what jurisdiction you're in. I don't think there's been any disagreement on this team that the benefit for the consumers, you know, in terms of lower prices and availability to competitively provided and broader pool of domain names is where we're going to put our emphasis. But there are different lenses, and it doesn't mean the other areas are not important in and of themselves, too, because they themselves can impact the benefit from consumers that, that will run or not run from vertical integration.
Thanks, Brian. Ken, go ahead.
Yeah, Mike. Sadly, or what's so sad about an exercise like this is, if you're on the board of directors on ICANN and you receive all of this documentation, what's the first thing you're likely to do? You're liable to go to your counsel or to your outside counsel and say, okay, fine. You tell me, is what they are saying, does it make sense? Does it apply to us? You know, you're looking outside for specific direction. It would have, I feel at least, been more helpful for us if we could have had the legal staff or the outside counsel at ICANN frame some of this for us so we could stay in a context that really gave us the opportunity of maximizing our time and energies. Because the one thing that I worry about is you throw all this stuff up to the board, they take it to their outside counsel who says, this stuff is crap, it's worthless, here's what the story is, you know. And you've got to assume that the board's going to be listening in the long run to Jones Day or whoever, to JJ, who probably will consult with Jones Day. So it would have been nice, because what we're doing is, to some extent, a form of speculation, and that's why I supported what you said, Mike, earlier about kind of waiting to see where the board was going with this, because I think we're at a point where we almost need more specific direction. And, you know, we're just going off and deciding now what we think is important, and maybe what we need to do is to hear from somebody who's the decision maker who says, all right, we're at a point now. Here's what we think is important. So, thanks.
Yeah, this this gets me, you know, back into my planning mode. And I was thinking about this. You know, if I was still with the big consulting firm, that's precisely what I would do. I would run around and check with a bunch of people to get that framework in advance. And I think if we've got the time, that's what I'll do. But I also agree with Roberto's point, which is there's, you know, we're underway. We need to keep going. We can't just stop. And I think that we're digging into some pretty fruitful material here with Jeff's document and now Scott's framing document. And I think that no matter what happens in terms of the board decision at the end of next month, that what we're doing right now is useful in some form or another. I don't have a good answer for Tim yet as to what the ultimate use of this will be, But I still think that it's useful to have this conversation and continue to educate ourselves about it, even though we may not, you know, have all those answers until some time from now. Brian, is your hand up from before?
Ben Leakey, can someone respond to the request to join the Adobe room?
Oh, I've lost all my staff folks. Sorry. Yes, hold on a minute.
I was trying to do it and couldn't get back in.
I'm clicking like crazy. Suddenly, all this... It looks like a bunch of people must have gotten booted off of the Adobe room because my partner in crime, Mike Zupke, has been booted out of the room, and so I wasn't covering that. Sorry about that, folks. Okay. Let me raise another one of my little questions. This is one... It's deeper in the document, and Scott, I may not be able to find it real quick, but there's the whole question of the law surrounding participants in, oh, God, I don't know what it is. It's basically competitors making rules and the care that needs to be taken that we don't transgress that part of the law.
Yeah, Mikey, I think you're talking about the standard setting, which is pretty
much
toward the
setting.
End.
That's
I think that the big issue there, and again, I mean, I did not create this to make people fearful. Basically created to say that there are these laws out there that already exist, and here's a short, brief sampling. And with regard to the standard setting, I think the issue there is if something is created that is specifically giving an edge to someone intentionally, then that can be an issue. And I think that that's sort of been in the back of some people's mind, not that they're doing that, but that there's a concern over that, and at least it could be something that... you know, while we're doing what we're doing, I don't think we fall into that because I don't think we're necessarily creating something that preempts one technology over another or necessarily one applicant over the other. I mean, the board has set the costs and the timing and those sorts of things, but yet within that, there may be standards that distinguish one from another. I wanted to at least address it because I think it is obviously a type of harm that's been addressed by the law.
Scott, this is Amadeu. No, but I think you would agree that this is a general consideration for nearly everything that ICANN does at the policy level, not just this concrete working group.
Yeah, and I think that, this is Mikey again, I think the useful thing, I mean, you all from the industry are probably pretty well advised on all of this, but... you know, we should maybe take a look at what we're doing and make sure that what we are doing is copacetic from that standpoint. That was just another one that jumped out of the document for me. Jeff, you've been very patient. Go ahead.
Thank you. So just my point on that, and on that, I actually wanted to just comment on that, is, well, two things. One is on what you had just said, and... You know, that's something that I had, you know, just I'll say personally that I had issued in my comments to the DAG for of that issue. But I personally, and I see it myself as an issue, but I don't think that that is something that I think this group should bring up. I think it would just be, I won't say a detriment, but I think it would... That specific issue on the standards piece is something that this group won't solve, and I don't think it's what we're tasked with. So I would say it can get into a very long discussion, and I think that would sort of derail us. So I would hope that we can not discuss that issue on this call, because I don't think we're going to solve it, and it's not our job to solve that. But I do thank Scott for pointing that out. And just second piece, what I was waiting for earlier is to say that I would not want us to say, let's wait for the board or council or anybody to give us direction or anything else on this going forward, just because I think they have been extremely consistent in telling us they are not going to give us any direction. So I don't think that would change. And I think they've put it in our hands, and I think that we should keep it in our hands and not wait for that, because we'll be waiting for a long time. That's all.
The waiting for Godot comes back. Okay. Brian, go ahead.
Yeah, just to pick up the point that Jeff and Scott just made with regard to the standard setting, and I'm not the lawyer for Phileas, I'm not the lawyer for anybody on this call. I don't think that it would behoove us to have a conversation about that topic, as Jeff suggested, just to note that there are some classic baseline things when competitors are sitting around a table. If there are discussions that could result in carving up markets, you know, you guys take South America, you guys take North America. If competitors start talking about how to set prices, those are all extraordinarily dangerous conversations. And the bottom line is that each one of us in this group should have the benefit of counsel and should be making independent decisions about any conversation and whether we should remove ourselves from this group in a noisy way if those lines are ever crossed. But any discussion about this beyond that, I don't think is going to be productive.
Thanks for that, Brian. And those of you who have capable general counsels, if you could give your naked co-chair a heads up if we ever approach that line, it would be really helpful, because I don't have good counsel at my back. And I think that's probably right, that we probably don't want to make a focal point out of this for our report, but at the same time, I would hate to have our work invalidated if we accidentally strayed across that line. Okay.
Mikey, that is something that was referenced to what Brian just alluded to on page 3. It talks about the whole issue of price fixing and carving up territories, et cetera. But that's certainly not been a focal point of this group. The whole issues have really been very philosophical, and I think that you'd have to be extremely concrete in order to cross any of those lines.
Cool. I think maybe that's a sort of a good spot to draw the line under this. As I said, it took me a good long time to get through this document and think about it. And Scott, unless there are some other highlights that you want to point out to us, I think it might be good to let folks digest it, and then maybe you and Jeff could put your heads together over the week and see if you could start categorizing the harms that are on his list with the taxonomy that you've built here, and see if we can start to put these into some sort of piles.
Sure.
And then have a conversation about sort of that blended result next week.
Mikey, is that one before? Yeah, I think that is a good idea, but I would want to give everyone on the list, including myself, because I have not had a chance to really read through, and to read through Scott's framework and his piece, because I wouldn't want to, because if there's, you know, I'm not, you know, some there might be issues to other things, so before we start that lifting or work on it, I'd like to see if that's a framework that people are okay with, because we would need to decide that before we started using it as the framework. So maybe,
that's fine.
So that's the only thing I just wanted to comment on.
Yeah, no, that's fine. I think if it turns out, maybe we could have a fairly lively conversation on the list. I know people have missed the fact that we've really dramatically dropped the email flow down to a mere 50 a week. Maybe this would be a way to get us back up to our norm. Maybe we could have a conversation about Scott's framework over the next few days, and if it's close enough, the two of you could get started, and if there seems to be a serious set of issues arising, we could just wait. And I'll let the two of you sort of make that call.
Okay, thanks.
Because if it's generally agreeable to folks, then, you know, we could sort of get the jump on it. But if there are key issues there, then we can try and resolve those on the call next week. Brian, is your hand up new, or is that left over? I haven't been paying attention to the queue. Ah, that's left over. Okay. I think that's it for the call. Oh, Scott, I guess I never let you answer the question. Are there a few things that you wanted to highlight before I cut this off, or do you want to leave it the way it is now? Scott's on mute or gone.
Is it Scott Austin?
Scott, have you...
He's taking advice from his lawyer.
Oh, poor Scott, if he's listening and hearing all
that. I haven't heard
there
all of that yet. I'm sorry, I had to... I had someone came in my office and I had to address it. What did I know?
Okay. Well, the only thing I was... before I wrapped up the call, I just wanted to see if there were any special highlights that you wanted to pick out of your document. Mostly what I was going to suggest is that we all read it very hard this week and then discuss it pretty intensely on the list. And if it's a framework that's acceptable, we can start merging between you and Jeff. And if there are big issues that we need to resolve, we'll resolve those first. But I wanted to give you a chance if there was... I kind of cut you off in your introduction, and I didn't know if there were any special things that you wanted to highlight that I cut you off before.
No,
I
appreciate that. I think that without people having an opportunity, and as I said, again, I gave my disclaimer at the beginning, I think the issue, frankly, is that there's a fabric of existing law out there, and that's there regardless of what we decide or how we want to characterize what we're doing. It's there, and in some ways that gives a foundation or a backdrop regardless of what we do. In other ways, it may be helpful to see what has gone before and to see if some of that may apply to the final policy that we want to generate, and that's all it's for.
Cool. Okay, I think that's it, folks. It's 9:45. I don't feel any slavish need to drag us all the way to the bottom of the hour. So with that, I'll bid you all adieu. We can go wait for Godot in our respective places. And see you in a week. Have a great summery week. I hope holidays are in everybody's future. And we'll see you at the old time next Monday for 1.5 hours, and I'll send a note to that effect to the group. Thanks, all. See you soon.